Madam Speaker, honorable members, colleagues, my fellow St. Lucians, both on the island of St. Lucia and abroad, listening to this broadcast. Madam Speaker, I must extend a very special salutation to the people of my constituency, the constituency of Ancillary Canmore, who have placed this honor upon me, Madam Speaker, and which I have humbly received to represent them in this honorable house. Madam Speaker, is it with a deep sense of accomplishment and achievement that I stand before this honorable house in support of this budget, and most of all, Madam Speaker, to represent the people of the constituency of Ancillary Canmore before the bell is rung. Madam Speaker, in the past, I have not had enough time to deal with the development and the achievement and the work that has been done in my constituency, the constituency of Ancillary Canmore. And this budget, Madam Speaker, I am doing it differently. I will deal with matters from my constituency, the accomplishments, the work that has been done in the constituency of Ancillary Canmore. Madam Speaker, when I was elected to represent the people in this constituency, on the record, and still on the record, that this constituency was one of the poorest in St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, this constituency is the only constituency on this island of St. Lucia that does not have a secondary school. I have spoken to the Minister of Education. I have spoken to my Prime Minister. And Madam Speaker, in due course, this will change. Madam Speaker, you know, when poverty denies one the chance to use their education, they become rebellious. And Madam Speaker, we are at the point whereby, Madam Speaker, that this has to change. Madam Speaker, the development of this constituency is focused along the following areas: agriculture, infrastructural development, fishing, tourism, light industry, and education. Madam Speaker, when I was elected to represent the people of this constituency, my focus was on education, because, Madam Speaker, in the budget speech, you heard the Prime Minister say that education is a means of taking you out of poverty, and I believe strongly in these words. So I embarked, Madam Speaker, on providing computer access to every single child, school child that is, in this constituency. And what I did, Madam Speaker, I established a computer lab at the infant school in Canmore. I established a computer lab in the primary school in Ancillary. I established a computer lab in the Millet Primary School. And I established a computer lab in Braddon, the Montezo area. Madam Speaker, these computers were not only accessible to the school children, both infant and primary, but they were also made available in the evening time for the adults in the constituency who wanted to learn computers. And Madam Speaker, if you see the programs that are being done, for instance, in Canmore, the people accessing that in the evening pay a small fee to the tutors. Madam Speaker, today I am proud, and I'm proud that every child in the constituency of Ancillary Canmore and the adult have access to a computer. And I go further in welcoming the initiative by the Ministry of Education, whereby an effort is made that every school child should and will have a computer at their home in the near future. Madam Speaker, I will move to a little community, and I'll start my constituency from Roseau. Madam Speaker, Roseau was a bustling little community in the days of sugarcane. But in the advent of bananas, the problem with bananas, Madam Speaker, this no longer exists. Madam Speaker, when I came into politics, I visited this little community. And Madam Speaker, my opinion, the people there had a sense of hopelessness. The people there had a sense that they were deceived by politicians. They were lied to from the politicians. They had a sense that society had left them behind. And Madam Speaker, the sanitary conditions in this little community was left to be desired. One would not believe that such a thing existed in the 21st century. A few weeks ago, Madam Speaker, we opened a toilet and bath facility in Roseau. And Mr. Charles from local government put it very well. When she visited Roseau a while back, when she returned to her home, it took her some time for her mind to settle because she could not believe that such a condition existed. But Madam Speaker, I am proud today because of the caring nature of this government and myself, Madam Speaker. 3 weeks ago, we opened a toilet facility, one of its kind in Tadusha, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this toilet facility is almost vandalism-proof. The external area of the toilet, Madam Speaker, if you do graffiti, you just wash it. There's very little gadgets to play with so that it can be damaged. And Madam Speaker, that came at a cost of a little more than $450,000 to this government. Madam Speaker, I built a shelter, a bus shelter, in Roseau. I extended that bus shelter. Reason for this, Madam Speaker, is because, Madam Speaker, the citizens there will not only use it as a bus shelter, but they could put little stalls where they could sell souvenirs and other items for the number of tourists that leave taxis on their way to Sofia, so we could have caught the attention and have some entrepreneurial businesses being done there, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, if you go through this little community now, Madam Speaker, you will see the number of small little shops that have been added since the last 4 years. Madam Speaker, you would see the number of little additions to the homes to make their homes better. And Madam Speaker, what we have done through this council, the Village Council of Ancillary, we have made available to this community a person employed full-time cleaning the byways and the little walkways and the canals in Roseau, making them feel, Madam Speaker, and they have to feel like that, Madam Speaker, that it's no different to coming to Cass Street and see on the morning people cleaning the streets, going to Ancillary and see on the morning people cleaning the streets, going to canneries and seeing people cleaning the streets, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, I had an experience. I went to visit the distilleries, which is situated next to this little community. And Madam Speaker, Mr. Bernard said to me, "Dr. Mondesi, I congratulate you on changes I have seen in this little community. And he said to me, Madam Speaker, only 2 weeks ago, I had about 30 individuals from Trinidad who came to visit and do some business in his distillery. We spoke to a number of them. And he said, I had no problem today, Dr. Mondesi, in recommending someone from this little community to cook for these people. And a hefty little sum was made every day by this particular individual. Madam Speaker, there is an individual, Madam Speaker, young lady, who has developed a rub for pain when those on the opposite side are going to get sick after this election coming. We will have a rub. There was a rub that she developed, Madam Speaker. And I linked her with Dr. St. Rose in Beaufort. And Dr. St. Rose in Beaufort enabled her to market this product much better. And now, Madam Speaker, we are proud to say that this is sold in various shops in East St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, this did not happen as a miracle. This happened because, Madam Speaker, putting the little incentives that this government offers on a regular basis. Madam Speaker, we have a program called a beautification program, where numbers of people in this little community get employment every 2 or 3 months. Little projects, Madam Speaker, to fix their own drains, to fix their own sidewalks. This too, Madam Speaker, added finance into this community. And now, Madam Speaker, you have these shops surviving. Madam Speaker, I went there not too long ago and saw a barber shop in there. So, Madam Speaker, if you speak of social transformation, this is social transformation. And I talk to the Minister of Social Transformation. Madam Speaker, we have uplifted the hope of these people. We have made them proud of being people from this community, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, once upon a time I had walked through this little community. And somebody had to Doc Bamangwe. Madam Speaker, when I go there now, they are Bamangwe. Doc Chita National Contract Man. Chita National Contract Man. Because this is what you do to poor people, Madam Speaker. You empower them financially and educationally. And this is what we have done. Tell me when was the last time, Madam Speaker, you heard about people fighting or killing or shooting in Rozo. You don't hear about this thing anymore. They are more interested in advancing themselves through the Madam Speaker. This is what I call transformation, social transformation. Madam Speaker, if there is one thing, one of the good reasons why I came into politics, this is why I came into politics. I came into politics, Madam Speaker, to empower the poor people, to make them independent, to make them think that they can have exactly what I have and more. And this is one of my main reasons for being in politics. And I want the people of my constituency to know that. This is my main reason. And if, Madam Speaker, there is any accomplishment or my fulfillment in politics, I have had it today, Madam Speaker, from this little community. Madam Speaker, I want to highlight also to my constituency and the people of St. Lucia. I want to highlight to them the period of time when I go through the development that I've done to this constituency. I want them to take note of that short period of time so much has been done. Madam Speaker, remember, when this administration took over the reins of power, Madam Speaker, the first year was a striving one. We had a leader that was sick and died just about a year later. So, Madam Speaker, when I go through the various development that has taken part in this constituency, I want the people of the constituency of Ankara Kanis to know and to note that in 3 years and 4 months, all of this has been done. Madam Speaker, I'll move along to Ankara. Madam Speaker, in Ankara, we have built a fishing complex. A fishing complex, as you know, Madam Speaker, Ankara is a fishing village. We are now developing our tourist factory. And this fishing complex, Madam Speaker, is at the cost from the Japanese government of $16.8 million. Madam Speaker, also during the construction of this fishing complex, the fish fryer vendors, had the privilege of the reconstruction of the vendor's arcade. We built a jetty, Madam Speaker, a jetty that everyone can see when you take a trip down to Sufre, going to Ankara, a jetty, Madam Speaker, that the citizens of Anchorage said they were all one was very good. But I said to them, be confident, we will replace it with something even better. And today, Madam Speaker, it is like a lining area. We are now able to accommodate the catamarans that used to pass. We are now able to bring in much, the numbers are greater in tourists than we have today, than we had long ago. Madam Speaker, we have improved the water rehabilitation system in Anchorage. Madam Speaker, when I came to Anchorage, two gentlemen approached me and said, Dr. Mondesi, and they were the Labour supporters. They said, Dr. Mondesi, if you can change this situation with the water situation in Anchorage, we will support you. From the time I started working towards establishing this water system, they have changed. And now, Madam Speaker, I'm happy to say that they support me. Because, Madam Speaker, today in Anchorage, we have a state-of-the-art treatment plant. We have pipes running through Anchorage. Madam Speaker, we are smart enough that we have a development coming into the Oakwash area. And we ask the people on this project to put a key so that the tap would run towards the Oakwash area. So when the development comes in Oakwash, it's a matter of the developers just connecting pipes. Madam Speaker, we run new pipes throughout Anchorage. And Madam Speaker, today we have a pumping station in St. Lawrence. And today, Madam Speaker, places like Otago and the surrounding areas that never could get water before, the water has reached their pipes. To the point where, Madam Speaker, a particular individual living in Otago, he was just sitting at his pump because he couldn't believe that pressure. And he said the pump is off, but he has pressure. He was amazed. And this is the kind of development that we have in Anchorage. Madam Speaker, we went forward and looked at the center of Anchorage, the town of Anchorage, not the town, but the little village. The square, the public square, was in a dilapidated state, Madam Speaker, for years. And Madam Speaker, through this government, we invested $200,000. And today, Madam Speaker, I invite everyone, drive through Anchorage and see the upgrade, the beautiful square that the people and tourists can come and enjoy in Anchorage. Because it's no point, Madam Speaker, it's no point having a beautiful waterfront and when you look inside, there's nothing more attractive. Madam Speaker, we went as far. We remember our children, the young children. They are the ladies and the men of tomorrow. We invested over $700,000 in a daycare center in Kibuk. Madam Speaker, and today, last week I was there, Madam Speaker, we have a modern, up-to-date daycare center for the children of Anchorage. We also, Madam Speaker, placed some money in the toilet facility in Kibuk. We increased the water capacity there with a tank for over 1,000 gallons, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, also in Anchorage, we began renovations of the community center. But because of the development of the fisheries complex, we had to abort this. And Madam Speaker, we have completed a set of drawings. The location and the cost of this community center will be $1.2 million, which we are hoping to get done with the help of this government. Madam Speaker, I am not just the representative that walks around and talks his head. I walked into the primary school in Anchorage, and I saw this deplorable state that the principal had to work with. Immediately, I called the Ministry of Education and said to them, this principal must show the example. Madam Speaker, because I believe in the example, Madam Speaker. When I was in charge of National Security and Home Affairs, I walked through the office of the commissioner, and I said to him, you cannot be my commissioner with the access that you have presented. And I immediately went to the government and had realizations done. This is the kind of man that I am, Madam Speaker, and the representative that I am. Madam Speaker, the playing field in Anchorage, we graded the playing field. We have spent grass on the playing field, irrigated the grass, and Madam Speaker, a couple of weekends ago, they started fencing the playing field, something that Anchorage has never seen. And we are putting some beautiful gates
so we can now have some sort of regulation as to the use of the field.
Madam Speaker, a health center is in the process of being built in Ankara. It will be a model, Madam Speaker. We first started it being delayed, Madam Speaker. The reason why, it was first decided that we would put it where the present health center is. But because of the project development that this government wanted, we found it more suitable to be where the primary school was. But because of the way it's been financed by the Bulk Agreement, we have asked to replace it back to its original place of origin. So, Madam Speaker, there has been an increase from that, because, Madam Speaker, as a result of this, we are having to move the multipurpose court and put it in the area where the primary school is. And we are also moving the infant school, because, Madam Speaker, where the infant school is located is right on the beach. And, Madam Speaker, the dust is becoming a problem with allergies to these children. So we are in the process of doing that also, Madam Speaker. And that multipurpose court will be transferred in that area, because it will have better use from the children of both the primary and the infant school and the general children. Madam Speaker, the water project I spoke about, it came at a cost of $6.5 million. Madam Speaker, during all this development in Ankara over the last 2 years, we recognized that we had a shortage of skilled labor. We recognized that people from Beaufort and beyond came to take jobs in the construction of all these things I spoke about, these projects I spoke about. So we recognize there's a shortfall in terms of skilled labor, and we are going to, this year, start the conversion of a building that's owned by government to develop a skilled training center where we can train and put equipment in it, where we can train people to become carpenters, masons, electricians, and so on. Madam Speaker, never in the history of politics that I know of, and I stand corrected, that a village like Ankara in any 1 year had $21 million go through this little village. In 1 year, Madam Speaker, I stand corrected. Never before in the history of politics that Ankara has had $21 million go through there through 3 major projects being in Ankara. I stand corrected if anyone has the correction. Madam Speaker, the amount of drainage problems that we have corrected, the amount of walkways that we have corrected to enable people to go to their homes. Madam Speaker, you've got to know the terrain that I represent. It's a mountainous terrain, rocky. And Madam Speaker, sometimes you wonder how these people get to their homes at night time. So these footpaths, drainage, is very important. So 2 things, Madam Speaker. Most of these things are done by local people. And also, Madam Speaker, it adds value to the real estate that these people own. Madam Speaker, we have some work to do still. We have to fix the roads in the village. It's not good. The sand mining that is done in Ankara has created a problem. There is work to be done through my Ministry of Health and the Ministry of Environment. We are looking to solve it. The mouth of the river, Madam Speaker, the mangrove has grown into the river. We are trying to straighten the growth of the mangrove so we can have water slides coming straight from the river to the ocean. Because now, Madam Speaker, because of the mangrove in the river, it is causing water to go into certain residential areas. Madam Speaker, the water problem in Ankara, off and on, Madam Speaker, from the heavy rain, we are faced with some problems. We've had to replace the pipes running from the treatment area on 2 occasions. Because, Madam Speaker, if you go there and look at the terrain, these pipes are almost placed alongside the riverbank. So when these heavy rains, which we never expect, and you know, Madam Speaker, Thomas was an unusual weather, unusual storm. So, and we've had other storms, other rainy periods after that. So, Madam Speaker, I'm asking the people of Ankara, their little patience, that all these things will come and come proper. Madam Speaker, I'm going to turn to Canaries, Belvedere, and Aslabadi. Madam Speaker, again, if you look at the terrain there,
we have had to put many, many, many walkways, drains, walls. But I speak of the church, if we didn't do that, we would have a lot of damage in heaven rain. But I speak of, we constructed a locker room facility to the fishermen in Canarese. But I speak of now, every fisherman that has a boat or is a serious fisherman has a locker to put his gears and other things. I want to get to the point that this is the most socially attended place in the Canaries now. You see the fishermen recreating themselves, other people recreating themselves, playing dominoes, playing cards. Now, on the way we constructed it just like a veranda, so that the fishermen now, when they want to mend their net, they don't have to be staying in the rain or in the sun. I don't see some of these fishermen there even have little rum shops inside these cubicles. So, Madam Speaker, another thing we did to this area is that we put a ramp to join this complex to the main road. And Madam Speaker, this has enabled people on wheelchairs, all the people, to walk to the beach, to walk to the waterfront with much ease. Madam Speaker, we had a problem. We had a problem in terms of the field, in terms of the complex that we have, the multi-purpose court. Since so much, Madam Speaker, it deposited a lot of debris and a lot of stuff in there. And Madam Speaker, today, if you go there and look at the multi-purpose court, and you look at the steel, Madam Speaker, you will see that great improvement in that area. Madam Speaker, another development that we did was in the Flora Villa area. Madam Speaker, you know Flora Villa? I'll describe Flora Villa to you. When you come into Canaries, Madam Speaker, all the hillside, the home you see there, is in Flora Villa and just below. And Madam Speaker, when I came to represent this constituency, I was told of the problems of water problems. Madam Speaker, you know many of our people build homes. We don't put drains, we don't put guttering. And Madam Speaker, when I visited the Flora Villa area, Madam Speaker, some of the foundations of these houses were being exposed. Madam Speaker, there was a professor in St. Lucia with a PhD student that was doing work on such terrain and water destruction. And I had the privilege to take him down there for a day. And his report, Madam Speaker, to me was that Flora Villa is the disaster waiting to come. He said if we had a small earthquake or a lot of rain, Madam Speaker, you may have a domino effect of houses falling on each other. But Madam Speaker, with the help of the EU and the humble servant pushing behind us, Madam Speaker, we developed what we call a mosaic program. Madam Speaker, we put in hundreds of feet of drainage, canals, walkways in this area. And we went one step further, Madam Speaker, because we know our people what they can afford. We had over 40-something houses. We put guttering, downpipe, and have this water channeled properly, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, we are proud of this because if this was not done prior to Thomas and the heavy rains that we've been having since Thomas, Madam Speaker, there may have been a disaster with the loss of life. Madam Speaker, for the last number of years, they've been promising, politician after politician have been promising a walkthrough from the village of Ancanary up to Flora Villa. Madam Speaker, do you know the number of people walking on this area, because it's a shortcut, that have had their legs broken, have had their ankles twisted? Madam Speaker, since Kenneth Foster represented Ancanary Canary's constituency, that has been a promise. But Madam Speaker, within the last 3 years, this government, with our help, has put this walkway. It's a walkway that will enable people to go to their homes in a decent way. And also, Madam Speaker, it serves as another outlet that if the area where we get out of Canary now has any disaster, there is another outlet to come out of the little village. Madam Speaker, we started renovating the Cannon Square. We have done the gazebo, and Madam Speaker, I am in the process of looking for funds to complete that square. I am also in the process of looking for funds to develop the old church, which is over 100 years old, Madam Speaker, into what we call a local art gallery. Because, Madam Speaker, we believe that tourists don't come and look at nothing. We must have something to offer them to look at. And I believe strongly, Madam Speaker, with this local art gallery, it will bring the attention of many tourists to Cameroon's village, and that, as a result, will change the economic state of Cameroon. Madam Speaker, we've had problems with the water situation in Cameroon. But, Madam Speaker, I've been promised by WASCO that the water problems in Cameroon will be over by the weekend, by the end of the month. Because, Madam Speaker, during Tomas, it destroyed the catchment area, it destroyed the treatment area and the storage area. And, Madam Speaker, with the help of a grant from the government of Trinidad and Tobago, who donated the material, and the government of St. Lucia, the cost of labor, we will have a water system that the people of Canaries will be proud of. Madam Speaker, you have to know Canaries. Canaries is a little village, Madam Speaker, that the buildup of Canaries is so compact that it's very difficult to put a sewer system or a septic system for that matter. So lots of these people depend on a public toilet facility for showering and other things. And Madam Speaker, I am proud to tell you today, Madam Speaker, as we speak, it took us a couple of years, but Madam Speaker, we are in the process of renovating the Big Street toilet facility and bath, and also the Flora Villa toilet and bath. The Big Street renovations, Madam Speaker, is at a cost to this government of $345,000. The one at Flora Villa is at a cost of $200,000. Madam Speaker, today, when you walk through the streets of Cameroon, you will see there is a shape of a street. Prior to my coming, Madam Speaker, all the edges of the street were broken because of time and traffic. And Madam Speaker, you can see the formation of a street because we had to make this up with concrete. And I asked them to visit and spend some money when those on the opposite side want to see if it's right or wrong. Go there, but make sure you go into your wallet because you need some of your money in Cameroon. The friends there still. Madam Speaker, I want to let you know, Madam Speaker, in Aslagadi, we've created and constructed many footpaths, drains, I said, sidewalks. Madam Speaker, we are developing also a new water tank because the people of Aslagadi have had problems with water before. There was a tank, Madam Speaker, that was established there before my time, but it was never connected to the main tank. Reason I don't know. Madam Speaker, there was a dispute about the land, but this government, because the land was the owner of the land, I don't know whether he was consulted or what, but he did not want them to use the tank because the tank was not their land and was his land. But Madam Speaker, common sense prevailed. We did acquire this land at a high price, but the tank was already there. So Madam Speaker, we did acquire it. 3 weeks ago, Madam Speaker, I went down with WASCO representatives and the village council of Cameroon, and WASCO promised that they will put in another tank close to the pumping station, which is at opposite La Paz Catar. And then they said not to connect the new tank now because it will be worked on twice. So when this is completed, and they promised that should be completed either the end of this month or early next month. I also asked them, Madam Speaker, to put a pipe to extend westward so that the people on this side of the village will get pipe water. Madam Speaker, we have improved the lighting in our Aslagadi. And as a result of this, Madam Speaker, we have three-phase electricity. So any small industry that comes into this area, we already have three-phase industry. Madam Speaker, the water problem I addressed
Before I told the people of Canaan to be patient, that Wasco has promised us not too far from now water will be in their pipes as they desire. Madam Speaker, I have always come to convince my government to acquire 54.4 acres of land westward as you leave Canaan going up towards Belvedere. Madam Speaker, because housing is in shortage. Also, Madam Speaker, we want to develop the waterfront. We want to develop the waterfront in Canaan, and unless we move the people from the waterfront there, we will not be able to develop this waterfront. And Madam Speaker, last week, some Italian investors are interested in developing a housing area in that area, Madam. It's beautiful. So, Madam Speaker, save your money so that you can have a second home in Aslazaro, in Belvedere, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, this did not come about, again, by magic. This is because of the incentives, the programs, the contracts, the little projects that we give to these people for them to help themselves, Madam Speaker. And Madam Speaker, I'm going to say to you again, I want this statement to be challenged. Madam Speaker, 2 years in a row, we have had good employment growth in Canaan in the months of January, February, and March. We did it last year, Madam Speaker. This year is on again, Madam Speaker, with the projects that are going on now. And Madam Speaker, it is not steps, Madam Speaker, it is projects. And Madam Speaker, this is what we call progress, progress, progress. Madam Speaker, last year, an individual met me in the foreroad in Canaan, and she said to me, Madam Speaker, si la mignon jeune homme qui part de travail, qui part sa jeune travail canari, moi ça là, non ça là, jeune homme ça, il s'y a et il part de travail. Madame, that made me feel good. Madam Speaker, let's move on again in my constituency to Mondo, Vanna, Durango. Madam Speaker, again, Madam Speaker, the infrastructure there was deplorable prior to my coming in. Again, as I said, a lot of footpath drainage. Drainage, Madam Speaker, starting from Vanna, moving up to Texman. This has been done. This has created employment to the local people. Because, Madam Speaker, this is one of the ways that we saved the main road. Because we had a problem with water. We had roads, but we had no drainage. And as a result, Madam Speaker, in this part of the country, Madam Speaker, the rainfall is heavy. So if you don't have proper drainage, you will have your roads being destroyed very, very often. Madam Speaker, when I was in opposition, at that time, Madam Speaker, at the Vanna Health Center, they said that we should not construct the Vanna Health Center. But Madam Speaker, I am proud to tell you today, the very same spot that they said the Vanna Health Center could not be rebuilt, we have a new health center in Vanna to serve the people of this area. Madam Speaker, the playing field in Mondo, we are now grading it, improving on it, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we have a lot of infrastructure work to be done in that area. And Madam Speaker, what I say to the people of Vanna and the people of Mondo, that the rest of the work that I am going around and making sure that we fulfill the promises that we gave to them, that will be coming soon. Madam Speaker, Ketchin and Millet. Let us go to Ketchin and Millet. Madam, Ketchin and Millet is a small community. And Madam Speaker, that small community, last year we completed a new community center at a cost of $480,000. Madam Speaker, in the same Ketchin area, we completed an agro-tourist center at a cost of $500,000. We have trained 20 young people to be tour guides. Madam Speaker, you know the Ketchina area. That is the area where the Rosso Dam is. That is the area of the Rosso Dam. There is a trail, Madam Speaker, that you can walk for about an hour and a half to 2 hours. When you stand on that trail, Madam Speaker, and you look over the ridge, you see the Rosso Dam. And that is one of the best trails in St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, because you're almost guaranteed when you walk that trail to see the federal snake, to see the boa constrictor, to see the agri-tree, to see the St. Lucia parrot,
to see the Ramu and all these other birds that we find ancient Lucianara and Speaker. These people are trained already to now be tour guides. Because, Madam Speaker, we will take advantage of the Rogo Dam, the Millet River. The Millet River, Madam Speaker, we will take advantage of them to develop tours so that tourists can come. Madam Speaker, as I speak now, we have tours coming for bird watching in the Millet area. That is ongoing, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, we have developed feeder roads. We have developed other tourist attractions up in that area. And Madam Speaker, there was a little water problem in Teshima Millet a couple of weeks ago. You saw it on television. Madam Speaker, since the little demonstration, the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, there have been water through the pipes of these people for 24 hours non-stop. So we asked the question, Madam Speaker, was it sabotage? Or what was it? Was it malice? But since we accused a certain individual, Madam Speaker, water has been in the Texan area for 3 weeks non-stop. Madam Speaker, I want to move on because, Madam Speaker, it will take a long time of permanent development in this constituency. As I said before, Madam Speaker, I cannot mention all because it takes me my whole time. I will not be able to go on to the affairs of the Ministry of Health. Madam Speaker, in the Boada and Montezo area, Jacksonville area, Madam Speaker, we have a computer center in Boaden. We extended on the daycare center in Boaden. We built many footpaths, drains. Madam Speaker, we did a massive amount of work in this area. And Madam Speaker, again, this was an area prone to disaster. And you look at the results from summer and look at the minimal or virtually no damage done to this area because of the steps that we took in creating drainage and other things in this area, Madam Speaker. The teacher now, Madam Speaker, is the one that has empowered the people that was never empowered financially before. Madam Speaker, in the Jatnal area, we are just completing a stocking facility under the HOPE program. It is 95% complete and will be completed soon for approximately $300,000. Madam Speaker, when you look at roads we have built to open agricultural lands in that area, Geni Ravine, Abamago, Madam Speaker, Abamago reminds me of Easter Sea. Madam Speaker, you know we are in the process of surfacing the road from Jack Mills to Montezo. I thank the QAT Fund. And Madam Speaker, we are so lucky in that area. We had had water problems in that area for years, Madam Speaker, years before my time. And we were lucky while constructing this road from Jack Mills. You saw many of the bus drivers on strike. The people saw it. Madam Speaker, we are lucky we are running a 4-inch pipe with a tank at the top of Montezo that will take about 220,000 gallons. And Madam Speaker, what is nice to tell you is that we will be putting fire hydrants along that pipeline. I think it will be a first in a rural area like this. Madam Speaker, we have gone into rezoning a part of the Jacksonville Rogo area so that we can accommodate light industry in this area. I personally have contacted the Chamber of Commerce in Martinique to convince some of their factories to come over here. Because, Madam Speaker, these factories in Martinique find it very difficult to compare price for things that are manufactured in the OECS. So if they bring those factories into the Jacksonville area, they will be registered as solution factories and will be able to compete with the rest of the OECS and CARICOM. Madam Speaker, we have promised the Minister of Communications and Works in its delivery today or tomorrow will ascertain the road link between Montezo and Mondor. Madam Speaker, because I believe that if you join your communities and your communities work together, they will improve not only their financial and communication skills, But it will develop more agricultural and housing areas, because there's a lot of land in between Mondo and Mount Shizu that can be developed both in terms of agriculture and housing. Madam Speaker, I say to the people of the constituency of Ancillary Tannery, I thank them for giving me that opportunity to represent them. I thank them for being patient with me. But also, Madam Speaker, I want to let them know that they have a district rep that feels like their needs, a district rep that works hard for them. And Madam Speaker, I want to let the people of the constituency of Ancillary Tannery know, because I could not talk of every single project that was done in this constituency, but everything I do for them, everything I do it for them. Madam Speaker, I have to move along towards my ministry. As Minister of Health, Wellness, Family Affairs, National Mobilization, Human Services and Gender Relations, Madam Speaker, since my last budget presentation a year ago, I am pleased to inform the St. Lucians, both here and abroad, that great strides have been made in the Ministry of Health towards improving the delivery of health care to St. Lucians. My government, Madam Speaker, is driven by one main principle: health care for all. In other words, Madam Speaker, no one should be denied care simply because of their ability to pay. However, Madam Speaker, achieving this milestone requires major investments in health. Our vision in health is to obtain optimal wellness within the entire population by increasing access to affordable, good quality health care. Life expectancy, Madam Speaker, 30 years ago was at an average of 60 years old. Today, Madam Speaker, it is 72.1 years. Our infant mortality rate was 23 in 1,000 in 2006. Well, while this is within the WHO benchmark of 30 in 1,000, it registers, Madam Speaker, a decline from 14 in 1,000 in 2002. Madam Speaker, this is an indication that our system response is weakening. Our public health investments have reduced the high number of deaths from infectious and contagious diseases. However, Madam Speaker, environmental challenges presented by climate change, which have influenced the pattern of disease and the behavior of disease-causing vectors, like dengue, which is caused by a mosquito, like leptospirosis, which is caused by rats. Madam Speaker, St. Lucia is experiencing a double burden of disease. The chronic non-chronic disease have remained the leading causes of death and disability for the past 5 years. The majority of our adult population, Madam Speaker, is dying from conditions such as hypertension, diabetes, heart diseases, stroke, lung diseases, and cancer. These conditions, Madam Speaker, account for 85% of all our adult deaths. There is a need, Madam Speaker, to increase resources to meet the needs and expectations for our health services. Madam Speaker, access to more timely and accurate information is imperative to a system, Madam Speaker, that is evidence-based on decision-making. We also, Madam Speaker, are confronted with the aging health structures, in addition to the limited capacity of maintenance. Madam Speaker, you know some of our facilities have been there with us for a long time, and we must pay attention to these facilities. Madam Speaker, what are our national vision for help. Over the past 3 years, Madam Speaker, my ministry has focused on implementing a national strategic plan for health, which is designed to bring about greater efficiencies in the management of health systems while increasing access, Madam Speaker, to health care for all residents. Our efforts, Madam Speaker, have been concentrated on keeping people healthy, treating health conditions, and providing rehabilitation. We have accepted this reality, Madam Speaker, that we can't afford to meet the health needs of all of our residents. In response to this reality, Madam Speaker, we have designed a package of promotion, prevention, and treatment, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, what have we done with our health system strengthening? We have developed what we call an accelerated health project. Represents the implementation strategy for the National Strategic Plan. Our main objective of this accelerated health system, Madam Speaker, is to achieve the plans that we have set up. It is to accelerate on some of the developments that have taken place in the health ministry, like the development of a new general hospital. We are in the process, Madam Speaker, of preparing a project proposal for the use of the EU 10 EDF funds for the health system strengthening to a cost of $18 million.
Honourable Member, you have 10 more minutes to finish your presentation.
I don't have more time.
Honourable Member for Brazilia.
Madam Speaker, I beg for the suspension of Standing Order 3210 to allow for the member for unfair refineries to proceed for another 1 hour.
Honourable Members, the question is that Standing Order 32-8 be suspended in order to allow Honourable Member for Anthony Tenries an additional 60 minutes in order to complete his presentation. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of the country opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Member, you have an additional 60 minutes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, what our policy directions do we follow with regards to health? In order to realize our vision, Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Health has outlined some specific policy directions. One, the Ministry of Health will advance the universal health coverage strategy to ensure universal health access to an essential package of services. Two, we will strengthen the response to management of communicable and non-communicable diseases. Three, we will increase social protection services to children and the elderly. Four, we will build greater capacity in disaster preparation and management in view of our recent experience with Hurricane Trauma. And five, we will also build stronger systems to improve our health in addition to positioning St. Lucia as a tourist wellness destination. Madam Speaker, what are some of our performances and our achievements? As a small island developing state, Madam Speaker, we are experiencing not only the health transition, but the population transition as well. We are now providing health care for a youthful and growing elderly population. Because to the relative size of this working population, Madam Speaker, it is becoming less capable of bearing the brunt of this reality in terms of cost. Madam Speaker, the public health expenditure has grown steadily alongside increasing health demand. From 2007 to 2008, health expenditure as a percentage of total government expenditure grew from 8.2% to 9.67%. In 2010-2011, which represented an increase from $61 million to $81 million.
During the financial year, Madam Speaker, 2010-2011, recurring budget was revised from $81.6 million to $85.79 million, representing an increase of about 5% in the approved estimate. During the year, Madam Speaker, the following issues put pressure on an already constrained budget. One, the increasing cost of goods and services, including rental of office space and procurement of construction and household materials. Two, the provision of adequate staff and personnel, resulting in seasonal employment of nurses and other medical personnel to a cost of $1.8 million to the taxpayers of this country. Three, Madam Speaker, new staff structures and national mental health and wellness centers cost $689,219.76. And four, Madam Speaker, for unforeseen and urgent issues, including break-ins and vandalism at our health institution, that came at a cost of $75,000 to the government of this country. Madam Speaker, what are our revenues? Our revenue in this ministry is mainly from the NIC contribution of $3 million. And Madam Speaker, you heard the Prime Minister in his budget speech said that we are asking NIC for a larger contribution because this ministry is insufficient. The second way we receive finances, Madam Speaker, is from collections at the Victoria Hospital at an amount of $2.5 million. And three, Madam Speaker, the Grosvenor Polyclinic and Health Facility is bringing $360,872. Prior to Hurricane Thomas, Madam Speaker, the Sufferin Hospital brought in about $225,770. And the Denry Hospital, $133,161. Madam Speaker, a PAHO-guided research project to determine the total health expenditure as a percentage of GDP estimated the government of St. Lucia total health expenditure at approximately 2.8% to 3.1%. Madam Speaker, this is well below the recommended expenditure internationally of 6% GDP. The revenue collection of $7.45 million, Madam Speaker, demonstrates the gross inadequacy of fees for service as a sustainable source of funding for the health sector. Madam Speaker, what have we done with regard to our management, the organization of our health system? Madam Speaker, we have developed a corresponding tracking system to increase efficiency with the handling of the transmittable correspondence. We have assessed the government structures. We have assessed training and the steering role of the Ministry of Health. We have commenced health policy development and legislative reform. We have developed and designed operational documents for the implementation of revised governance structures to be finalized in consultation, Madam Speaker, with all stakeholders. Madam Speaker, what are some of our health and social services that we offer through this ministry? Our primary health care approach, Madam Speaker, mandate that we reach our people in the community where they live, work, and play. We have ensured that these services are available in every community. We are in the process of developing the Adolescent Health and Men's Program. We have conducted training and are in the final stages of program development. Madam Speaker, you know men's health is something that was neglected, but we know with the popularity of prostate cancer, we are recommending our men check in our health centers and wellness centers more frequently than we have done before. We have also, Madam Speaker, assessed the model of care which describes how we care for our population. Preliminary findings, Madam Speaker, reveal that our health workers are committed to providing patient-centered care, but have noted some major challenges with respect to the impact on their ability to meet the needs of the population they serve. During the course of the year, the Ministry of Health negotiated with PAHO for medical supplies and equipment. This was procured through a non-profit organization called Global Links.
The distribution of global link equipment and medical supplies, Madam Speaker, was at a cost of $97,000. And this equipment, Madam Speaker, was distributed to the Sufre Hospital, the Victoria Hospital, the Bougie Polyclinic, and St. Jude's Hospital. Madam Speaker, the chronic non-chronic diseases poses a threat to the lives of our people. And what have we done to combat that? In the year 2007, Madam Speaker, St. Lucia joined the rest of the Caribbean in a unification drive to stop the epidemic of non-communicable diseases. By signing the declaration in Port of Spain on September 15, 2007. Since then, Madam Speaker, other regional bodies have joined the struggle to control this chronic non-communicable disease. Through our determination, we have been able to qualify for funding to prevent the threat of this condition. The chronic non-communicable disease, Madam Speaker, our technical people of health and non-health professionals is committed to reducing the burden of chronic non-communicable diseases. Our monitoring and advisory structures have been well established. We have commissioned a multi-sectoral body with the responsibility for monitoring and advising on the effective action to control this non-communicable disease. This committee, Madam Speaker, is a multidisciplinary team responsible for implementing, evaluating, and improving non-chronic disease programs and increasing access to services. Madam Speaker, you remember this government spent money in providing diabetic and hypertension medication at no cost. At a cost, low cost to the patients, but at a cost to government of $1 million. You remember that in my last budget, Madam Speaker, I made note of that. Madam Speaker, we are also placing emphasis on health promotion, health prevention, early detection and treatment. And Madam Speaker, this is why we take the approach of primary health care, because it is the cheapest way to provide good health care. We have introduced a physical fitness program and the appointment of a physical fitness coordinator that goes around, Madam Speaker, in all our wellness centers and encourages people, especially the diabetics, to exercise. Our aim, Madam Speaker, is to reduce the number of cases. However, the continued presence of the condition is making it more difficult due to cultural patterns and behavior. Also, the actions of the stakeholders in the food and import industry create some concerns for us, Madam Speaker. Strategies to curb the increasing incidence of this disease requires policy, Madam Speaker, legislation, and partnership between all stakeholders. Madam Speaker, we have provided podiatry services in every region. We are working with families to improve the care of the diabetic foot and reduce amputation. Madam Speaker, do you know that St. Lucia in the OECS is the second in terms of the rate of amputation? Barbados is number one, St. Lucia is number two. To date, Madam Speaker, we are proud to note that Victoria Hospital has recorded a reduction in the number of amputations. With the assistance, Madam Speaker, of the Government of Cuba and the Ministry of Health, we have introduced a drug called Herdiprop-T. The drug has greatly improved the management of diabetic ulcers. Madam Speaker, on a trip to Cuba, I was introduced to this drug by the Cuban authorities of health and saw the miraculous results of curing diabetic ulcers. Immediately, Madam Speaker, I engaged the Minister of Health of Cuba and asked to send a team down here. And Madam Speaker, you remember a few months ago, that team was in St. Lucia. And Madam Speaker, you know what the nurses in St. Lucia called this drug? The wonder drug. The wonder drug. Madam Speaker, within 3 weeks, there was healing. Madam Speaker, I went to Viewport soon after they left. And a gentleman met me and held me and said, Doc, look at me. I can walk and stamp his feet, Madam Speaker, to the ground. He said, for 20 years, I had a diabetic ulcer under my feet. I gave up on life. I could not drive. I could hardly walk. And today, he was stamping his feet by the people. These are the kind of things when you travel as a minister, you see, you bring to the shores of your country to help your people. But Madam Speaker, what are you going to do? You're going to bring this team back to St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, and then, Madam Speaker, they're going to be teaching our local people how to administer this drug. Madam Speaker, another program that we have now is our nephrology program. Because, Madam Speaker, you know, St. Lucia, with a high rate of diabetes, we have a lot of kidney failure and hypertension, a lot of kidney failure. This program, Madam Speaker, is part of a wider chronic non-tunnel disease program and includes a focus on treatment, care, and support. Most recently, Madam Speaker, our people were succumbing to failed livers, kidney functions, which require dialysis. The treatment cost for end-stage failure is high, Madam Speaker. The total cost of dialyzing one patient per week is approximately $1,350. The cost per session is approximately $450. And the annual cost is over $70,200 per client per year. A dialysis patient requires three sessions per week. The government of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, has subsidized this cost by almost 70% of the market price. The government of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, has taken a policy decision to provide dialysis services on the island. This service is highly subsidized, Madam Speaker. Clients are required to pay $150 per session, and no one, I repeat, is denied care. However, Madam Speaker, as a result of increasing numbers of new cases, particularly among the poor and the vulnerable, are many persons in need of care. Madam Speaker, in response to this, the Ministry of Health has expanded dialysis service on the island. Last year, Madam Speaker, two additional machines were added and installed at the Victoria Hospital. To reduce the strain of commuting from the south to the north, we have established dialysis services in the south of the island. The dialysis unit in the south, Madam Speaker, has the capacity to dialyze 12 patients per day at a cost of $4,500. The cashless center situated at the Victoria Hospital, Madam Speaker, is the main referral point. It houses 12 dialysis chairs with a capacity of 36 patients per day at a cost to government of $16,200. The total island capacity is now 48 sessions per day, Madam Speaker. The total annual cost of this service is approximately $3.4 million to government and the taxpayers of this country. In the new financial year, Madam Speaker, we will enhance the nephrology program. Our response will include behavior risk patterns, and a survey will be carried out to better understand the behavior driving this condition. We will demonstrate tools. We will show our medical equipment. There will be training for community health aides. Madam Speaker, the procurement and installation of two additional chairs at the Gorsley Lake Polyclinic to come and not too far from now is about $618,100 to government. Madam Speaker, dialysis in the South is a dream come true, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, when I came as Minister of Health, I saw the great need for dialysis in the South. It was like a dream. Madam Speaker, because you know, when you finish one session, after that session, you are weak, you feel sick. And by the time you're recovering, Madam Speaker, it's time to do the second session. And people from the South had to take this additional stress of having to get transportation back and forth. Madam Speaker, like Martin Luther King said, I had a dream, but I had a dream, Madam Speaker, that we, this government, with the concern of this government for the people of this country, especially the poor people, Madam Speaker, that we would deliver dialysis in the South. And today, Madam Speaker, we have delivered dialysis in the South. Madam Speaker, at the opening, Madam Speaker, it is unfortunate that the leader of the opposition, the district rep for the South, was not present to engulf and watch and witness history in the making, Madam Speaker. It was unfortunate. Madam Speaker, we have another disease that affects us, the communicable disease. I have a leather back, the total leather back. That's what I have. Madam Speaker, this other disease, Madam Speaker, while we battle with the impact of chronic non-communicable diseases, Madam Speaker, we are also battling new and resurgent communicable diseases such as dengue, influenza, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS. The changing modern pattern, Madam Speaker, attributes to changes phenomenally and local and regional increases the dengue over the years. Madam Speaker, dengue has become a year-round problem to this country. Madam Speaker, you see the weather patterns. We're supposed to be in the dry season and we have wet. We have rains all through the dry season. And as a result of this, Madam Speaker, we have had to attack dengue on a 12-month basis. Between 2005 and 2010, Madam Speaker, the incidence of tuberculosis averaged approximately 12 cases a year. And there is a problem, Madam Speaker, with people suffering from HIV/AIDS. Towards the end, Madam Speaker, they seem to get infected with tuberculosis. And it's a strain that is very difficult to cure. Hurricane Thomas, Madam Speaker, caused a sharp rise also in the cases of leptospirosis, which rose from 4 cases in 2009 to 15 cases in 2010. The majority of these cases, Madam Speaker, were detected after the passage of Hurricane Thomas. We also have the problem, Madam, the incidence of bilharzia. This has remained constant with an average of 5 to 10 cases in the last 5 years. Madam Speaker, what have we done to combat communicable diseases? The communicable disease program, Madam Speaker, is also supported by a multi-sectoral and multidisciplinary approach. Our surveillance system has been effective in monitoring the disease occurrence and following up on suspicious cases where notable. We have increased our vector control activities and need to continue heightened vigilance in the area of environmental and sanitary control. The control, Madam Speaker, of communicable diseases necessitates individual responsibility as well as combined efforts between our community health response team and other public and private stakeholders. Madam Speaker, we have increased capacity for the surveillance of notable diseases and disease coding. This is very important, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, when it comes to HIV and AIDS, HIV/AIDS prevention and control project, Madam Speaker, have been defined as a success. Yes, Madam Speaker, a success. People infected with the HIV/AIDS virus now have access to life-saving medication and can continue to contribute to social and economic life. In addition, 250 persons living with AIDS are enrolled into the treatment and care program, which is free, the antiretroviral drug, the treatment given, all at no cost to the patient. Many more people are informed about this contagious illness, and many more are equipped with social skills to reduce their risk of contracting this condition. Note well, Madam Speaker, through our mother-to-child prevention and control program, Madam Speaker, we have reduced the transfer of HIV/AIDS from a mother to her child. Under the World Bank, Madam Speaker, the World Bank HIV/AIDS Project, Madam Speaker, care for HIV orphans and other vulnerable children have been integrated into the existing foster care and social support program of the Department of Human Services. To date, Madam Speaker, more than 200 children have benefited from this program. The testing and consulting and medication are free, as I said before, and are available within our public health system. Madam Speaker,
The AIDS program, HIV AIDS program, the financing is running slow. Because, Madam Speaker, the countries that finance them are no longer prepared to finance at the same extent. And, Madam Speaker, the disease stays with you, whoever finances it. So this government, Madam Speaker, has taken the initiative to incorporate it into our public health system. At the end of 2010, the total cases reported, Madam Speaker, since the first reported case of AIDS in 1985 is 803. In 2010, Madam Speaker, St. Lucia recorded 43 new cases, which represented the lowest annual number reported of new cases of HIV infection since the year 2002. Madam Speaker, there were only 2 deaths from AIDS in the year 2010. The war against this formidable HIV-AIDS epidemic is still far from over. The HIV Prevention and Control Project closed in October of this year. The government of St. Lucia has taken a policy decision to continue this fight by reducing the number. The fight is to reduce the number of new cases, 2, reducing the number of HIV-related deaths, and 3, reducing HIV-related stigma and discrimination to 0. Towards this end, Madam Speaker, the Ministry has developed a new strategic plan for 2011-2014 with a new focus on decreasing the spread of the virus and mitigating the impact on the population by focusing on the most vulnerable group. Consequently, Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Health has sought and received assistance from UNAIDS and the World Bank to develop and implement a new strategy to address the epidemic for the next 5 years. The 5-year period starts in 2011 to 2015. This strategy, Madam Speaker, focuses on reaching the most vulnerable groups with respect to preventing the spread and mitigating the impact of the epidemic on this small population. The Ministry of Health also received a PEPFAR grant through the United States government with an equivalent of, Madam Speaker, $2.8 million for the year 2011-2012, with a commitment to provide additional assistance of $460,000 per annum for the following 4 years. This grant is for the strengthening of health systems in support of HIV/AIDS control, Madam Speaker. For the first 2 years of implementation, the main focus, Madam Speaker, will be on laboratory support, surveillance, monitoring of the epidemic under this new strategy. 2 new positions, Madam Speaker, will also be funded. 1, for a biostatistician, and 2, for a surveillance officer, creating more jobs for the people of St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, I want to talk a little bit about our mental health and wellness. What is the National Mental Health Program all about? Madam Speaker, the National Mental Health and Wellness Program stands as a new model of care in the Eastern Caribbean. We are committed to supporting the full implementation of the mental health reform agenda, which includes a model of care which extends to the home, the communities, within institutions, and the workplace. The program includes prevention, health promotion, community outreach, and case management, and a step-down approach to institutional care. The need for mental health wellness, Madam Speaker, is great. In the past year, the National Mental Health and Wellness Center has reported an increase in new cases. We have also recorded many more cases in our communities. During the financial year, the National Mental Health and Wellness Center received an additional 28 new staff members to ensure care and protection of clients. New staffing positions, Madam Speaker, include a director, technical administrative staff. This staffing, Madam Speaker, came at a cost of $689,200 per annum. Madam Speaker, in an environment of increasing healthcare costs, the program has suffered from a lack of resources. This year, we will restrain the community, we will reinstate, Madam Speaker, the community mental health program and also appoint a director of mental health services. Madam Speaker, this community mental health program, last financial year, we said we would extend this community unit to 8 units. But again, as I said, Madam Speaker, because of financial constraints, we have had to reduce it to 5. Madam Speaker, this program helps. We have found out that the community health program is the way where we take the patients, place them within the community, assisted by their family and our professional health, making sure they take their medication. And Madam Speaker, amazing to see the result. How the percentage of cure and health from these people being reinstated into their community has resulted. Madam Speaker, we've also developed a Center of Excellence for Ophthalmology with the help of the Cuban government. Madam Speaker, we see great help to our people. Madam Speaker, as of March 2008 to February 2011, the total number of people that have seen at this clinic was 2,736. There have been about 827 surgeries being done, Madam Speaker. This, Madam Speaker, again, is to indicate that if the care that we have for vision, because, Madam Speaker, if you can't see and enjoy all around you, plus, Madam Speaker, the new technology that's around, Facebook and all the things, Madam Speaker, that so many of us are, Madam Speaker, it is depressing if you cannot enjoy it. Madam Speaker, I want to touch on the Environment and Health Department in my ministry. During the period 2010-2011, the Department of Environmental Health responded to 2 major national crises, which gave rise to significant public health threats, namely the prolonged drought, Hurricane Thomas. We successfully conducted an island-wide campaign to monitor the water supply and to provide water purification systems, installations of water treatment units, provisions of water disinfection, and information to communities throughout the island. The Caribbean Environmental Health Institute of CAHI produced information brochures to households on ways to treat water intended for domestic purposes. Water treatment facilities, Madam Speaker, were also installed in 2 communities, in the Cambridge area and in Derisol, where water supply was disrupted for a long period. Also, Madam Speaker, there was improved community outreach through the addition of 2 vehicles sponsored by TAHO and the governmental transmission. We successfully mounted an intense national campaign to include strategies such as forming and educational programs through the use of our electronic media. We also produced a DVD on dengue fever prevention, which was produced locally and aired. We expanded response to rodent control also, Madam Speaker, through the implementation of the rodent control project. The aim of this project is to reduce rodent levels and other impacts resulting from rodent infestation in this country. Madam Speaker, again, on a trip to Cuba, I was exposed to a video showing a poison that was invented by the Cubans called BioRat. And Madam Speaker, all the field work was done in St. Lucia. It was approved for use in St. Lucia. Reason why it is in St. Lucia, Madam Speaker,
I leave that for another session. Madam Speaker, we are trying through the Ministry of Health to conduct a pilot project to bring this material, this poison, to St. Lucia to relieve the rat problems in St. Lucia. Madam Speaker, what is nice about this poison or this chemical is that, Madam Speaker, it is specific to an enzyme on the intestine of rats. And Madam Speaker, if this poison or this chemical is exposed to chickens, cows, children, it has no effect on them. Madam Speaker, some farmers come to me and say to me, this chemical that Renwick and these people are selling, the rats are getting clever. The rats are either smelling them or they're recognizing them. Madam Speaker, some of the farmers with livestock, they have to disguise the chemicals tied in a little cloth to make the rat believe it's something new. And Madam Speaker, when the rats drag them along, sometimes they drop them in the pen, the pig pens, and where the animals are. The animals eat it, and Madam Speaker, the results tell. So Madam Speaker, I am appealing to the various ministries responsible for giving us this okay to allow this chemical to come in here under the supervision of the Ministry of Health so we can experiment and we can eliminate the problems of rats and leptospirosis, which is as a result of rats, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, some of our work plans this year will be to focus on additional training in disease outbreaks, mass casualties, assessment of physical infrastructure. We must be committed, Madam Speaker, to implement the international health regulations. Madam Speaker, this is important to small countries like ours. The international health regulation is the tool which allows us to partner with the rest of the world to monitor health issues and to protect our country from potentially harmful situations, Madam Speaker. Our most recent experience, Madam Speaker, would be our collaboration with regional and national authorities to contain the spread of the H1N1 virus and the SARS virus. Madam Speaker, I'll turn to universal health care. I know it's important, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, universal health care. The government of St. Lucia has taken a policy decision to increase the investment in health. Through the implementation of the universal health care coverage strategy, Madam Speaker, this will allow our population to access health care for a defined package of services through a sustainable funding mechanism. A policy analysis of the feasibility of implementing universal healthcare strategy revealed that the healthcare sector would require an additional injection of approximately $40 million, but also presented an idea of the fiscal space that would be created. The Ministry of Health, Madam Speaker, and the Ministry of Finance are reviewing this report. Public health services, Madam Speaker, are heavily subsidized. Medical clinics, health promotion clinics including maternal and child health, diabetes, hypertension, and pharmacy services are provided at 32 wellness centers located in 8 health regions. The universal health coverage strategy, Madam Speaker, will follow this tradition, but will also allow the health sector to receive an injection of additional funds to both increase and improve the quality of the service provided. What are our solutions? We aim to address our resource gap using three-pronged approach. One, firstly, we address issues of waste and inefficiency. Secondly, Madam Speaker, we strengthen the primary healthcare approach with emphasis on health promotion, prevention, curative treatment, and care, using multidisciplinary health teams to care for the clients in their community. And thirdly, Madam Speaker, and finally, we will be determining the true cost of providing a comprehensive basket of services and establishing health coverage strategies which will increase access to health care and serve as a sustainable health fund. The government of St. Lucia, Madam Speaker, will be working with the University of Trinidad and Tobago Health Economic Unit to conduct a costing exercise of our health system. This will provide, Madam Speaker, more detailed costing and information.
our public-private partnership is emerging as one option to ensuring the availability of health care. We are exploring also, Madam Speaker, these options as methods of financing and revenue generation. However, with respect to access to health care by our population, we will finalize the project implementation plan for the execution of the universal health coverage strategy. We will remain committed, Madam Speaker, to our vision of quality health care for all. Madam Speaker, I want to speak a little bit on another aspect of my ministry, human resources. Madam Speaker, we have continued to train our healthcare workers as we seek to enhance the quality of services within the healthcare system. We have also trained personnel in anticipation of more advanced services to be provided by the soon to be commissioned the new national hospital. The health sector, Madam Speaker, is presently experiencing a shortage of professionals, especially in nursing and specialist services. This is a situation, Madam Speaker, for our referral hospitals and also for our community health services. Medical specialists, Madam Speaker, such as radiology, pathology, orthopedic surgery, gynecology, is in short supply. The Ministry will continue to explore and make use of all opportunities to train and retain our medical profession in the disciplines required. Madam Speaker, we have gone so far, Madam Speaker, to ask for assistance through various governments, like the government of Cuba, the government of Mexico, the government of Taiwan, and other governments to help train and help educate people within the Ministry of Health. So far, Madam Speaker, we have had 2 nurses sent to Jamaica as family nurse practitioners. We have had 2 nurses sent to specialize in cardiology, treatment, and care in Mexico. We have sent 3 doctors to Cuba specializing in pathology, psychiatry, and nephrology. PAHO, Madam Speaker, also granted us a scholarship for 1 doctor to be trained in tuberculosis management. Madam Speaker, we've also had added training from Mexico and PAHO for our health workers to have continued education in areas of monitoring and evaluation, in areas of HIV, in areas of leadership, in areas of chronic non-communicable diseases, in areas of foot care, public health, biomedical engineering, intensive health care, equipment maintenance, elderly care, food safety, Madam Speaker, adolescent care, men's health, cardiology care, and Madam Speaker, renal care. Madam Speaker, hospitals like St. Jude, with this sort of initiative, have benefited. We know, Madam Speaker, that there is a team who comes from Taiwan, a medical team, on a frequent basis to St. Jude to help with our medical problems in St. Jude. Madam Speaker, I'm aware of the importance of creating environments and opportunities for learning, particularly in the medical field. Our offshore medical schools also, Madam Speaker, are playing their part to improve on the island's healthcare. And Madam Speaker, we have to examine the accreditation process in St. Lucia. And with the Ministry of Education and the Ministry of Health, we are working at it. And Madam Speaker, not too long ago, one of the offshore schools in Beaufort were about to close. But with our assistance in aiding them in that direction, we have been able to recruit large numbers of students, Madam Speaker. And today I learned, Madam Speaker, there's a shortage of housing in Beaufort. Madam Speaker, you remember in the speech made by the Prime Minister, he said the average student through the government of St. Lucia brings in about $18,000. So, Madam Speaker, we are increasing the prosperity and the economic state in the South. Martin, today I want to go on another topic that's particularly important to not only the Ministry of Health, but also to taking the Ministry of Health into the 21st century. And that is, Madam Speaker, our health information system. We are proud of the progress made with the health information system. This project, Madam Speaker, is managed by the Health Information Unit under the guidance of a dedicated project manager staffed with 3 system developers, 1 system analyst, 4 technicians, and 1 network administrator. Madam Speaker, this system will record all the case history and everything that's pertaining to an individual through all our health centers, our wellness centers, and our hospitals. Madam Speaker, it will be a cost-saving exercise for this government because, Madam Speaker, it will be a model, Madam Speaker, whereby we will be able to track wastage, inefficiency arising from expired medication and poor inventory management. Madam Speaker, we are expecting to launch 4 modules, and these modules will be placed in 11 sites: La Clery, Bellevue, Bexon, La Croix, La Rousseau, Beaufort, Monnipour, Canary, Labry, Montrouge, and Babono. Madam Speaker, these modules, we expected to have 9 modules. When the thing is in full operation, we will have 9 modules. But presently, we are launching 4 to 5 modules. Madam Speaker, we have also reestablished the Health Information System Steering Committee, which will continue to guide the process and complete the procurement protocol for the development of health information system legislation. Madam Speaker, I want to touch a little bit on our quality management system. Madam Speaker, during the course of the past financial year, we concentrated on the training of our health workers in quality management system. With the assistance of CAHO and the Ministry of Health of Trinidad and Tobago, we were able to contract a lady by the name of Valerie Rollins, a quality manager, to conduct a sensitization workshop in quality management systems. Our aim, Madam Speaker, for doing this is to achieve accreditation for all our health facilities as a follow-up to the risk assessment conducted by the Canadian Council for Health Service Accreditation. We will be drawing from the expertise of our Caribbean neighbors, namely Trinidad and Tobago, and the work done by the regional quality management bodies in our region. Madam Speaker, what have we done about our physical infrastructure? The passage of Hurricane Thomas, Madam Speaker, presented us with a major challenge to the execution of projects. However, Madam Speaker, we detected staff, with our dedicated staff, Madam Speaker, we were able to push ahead. Capital project performance, Madam Speaker, measured as a percentage of expenditure of allocated funds, was very satisfactory, at a percentage of 86%. In this financial year, Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Health is proud to announce the following achievements: the construction and commissioning of the New Beginning. It is a transit home, Madam Speaker, for children at a cost to government of $2 million. With the commissioning of the new St. Lucia National Wellness Center, which has been commissioned, at a cost of $70.76 million. We will be retrofitting and commissioning the following wellness centers, Madam Speaker: Ghana, at a cost of $502,164.95. Labry Health Wellness Center, at a cost of $572,493.18. Kilo shape at a cost of $324,616. Canaries at a cost of $345,629. Babono at a cost of $987,594. And Chipot, $24,273.10. The Viewport Health Center came to us at a cost, Madam Speaker, of $1.3 million. The Soufre Hospital at $550,186. Victoria Hospital Kitchen, Madam Speaker, we have renovated this kitchen at a cost of $194,936. The expansion of dialysis program to the north at $147,459. Madam Speaker, we had to repair the floors, extend on it, and introduce two machines at Victoria Hospital. To the south, Madam Speaker, at St. Jude, at a cost of $300,000. Madam Speaker, the completion of the elderly home in Black Bay came to this government at a cost of $6.45 million, $486,000, Madam Speaker. In this new financial year, Madam Speaker, we will strengthen our health structure through the World Bank's Hurricane Thomas Emergency Fund project, Madam Speaker, at an amount of $2.something million US. Madam Speaker, we will be doing renovations to the Jack Fair Wellness Center at a cost of $110,000. The Itan Wellness Center at a cost of $110,000. La Guerre Hospital, Madam Speaker, La Guerre Health Wellness Center will be financed by the government of St. Lucia. The Ancillary Health Center, which has been in the making, Madam Speaker, for the last 2 years or so, will be financed by the Bolt Agreement. There has been some delay in terms of its implementation because costs have changed. The new cost, Madam Speaker, is up to $4.9 million. It will be a model health wellness center. Madam Speaker, the reason for that increase is because we have to move the multi-purpose court in its location and move it where the primary school is. The Cashfield Health and Wellness Center, Madam Speaker, renovations will be there at a cost of $360,000. Our new national hospital, Madam Speaker, the new national hospital construction project has been successful. And Madam Speaker, the construction and commissioning activities for the new national hospital is in progress. The EU has examined this model and uses it as a potential model to show the rest of the OECD countries and beyond a project that is well managed. The construction program, Madam Speaker, is at about 53.8% complete as of March the 31st, 2011, with a total project expenditure of about 49%. Madam Speaker, due to Hurricane Thomas, the EU has agreed to extend the completion date from April 2012 to June 2012. And we're hoping, Madam Speaker, we may not need that extra time. The EU also, Madam Speaker, has agreed to finance the equipment for the new national hospital at a cost of 9 million euros. Madam Speaker, inasmuch as Thomas has devastated St. Lucia, something good has come out of Thomas because, Madam Speaker, the arrangement that was made with the EU was that the EU would finance the construction of the building and the government of St. Lucia would finance its equipment. And Madam Speaker, as a result of us pleading to the EU of our hardships, Madam Speaker, they have agreed to finance the equipment. And as a result of this, Madam Speaker, we will have state-of-the-art equipment. We will have a number of diagnostic equipment which were not available to us at Victoria Hospital, all digital. So, Madam Speaker, we can easily transform records from one part of the world to the next.
from doctors in St. Lucia to doctors in America, from doctors overseas, Madam Speaker. So we thank the EU for this little gift. In the new financial year, Madam Speaker, Commission activities will take center stage as the Ministry of Health hastens to take and ensure that all functional and operational planning issues are addressed to allow the smooth transition from the old to the new. Madam Speaker, the operational cost of this new hospital will present a 40% increase in the current budget. Cost savings are expected with the implementation of shared services and a single management structure for the complex. Madam Speaker, Victoria Hospital will be converted into an urban polyclinic. Madam Speaker, we speak of St. Jude Hospital. I must say, Madam Speaker, today the St. Jude Hospital staff must be commended for restoring full service, a full range of services in the south of the island in the aftermath of the devastating fire. The Ministry of Health aims to rationalize services and limit the degree of duplication of specialist services between the two referral hospitals. Dialysis services are being provided in the north and the south of the island, and a decision will be made for the location of the other specialized areas. Madam Speaker, the reconstruction of St. Jude will take a form of two phases. The construction of the new surgical wing will be financed and built by the Taiwanese. The rehabilitation of a 93-bed facility at the original St. Jude site. Madam Speaker, the expected construction finish is supposed to run and to be around September to October 2011. So I plead to the people of the South that relief is on its way and the stadium will be taken over by the appropriate ministry. Madam Speaker, I want to go ahead and talk about Victoria Hospital. Madam Speaker, what has happened up to date with Victoria Hospital? Madam Speaker, this government has not forgotten, like Zubwa says, but dear family. We have not waited and saying that since we are receiving a new hospital in another year, we have to forget and neglect Victoria Hospital. Because, Madam Speaker, the Ministry of Health believes environment is part of the curing process. And as a result of this, Madam Speaker, we have gone ahead and painted and given Victoria a facelift. We have painted the front. We have painted the entrance. We have painted one side, Madam Speaker. We have renovated Ward 8, Ward 9 in 2011. We have renovated the gynecological ward. We have extended the dialysis unit in terms of two more chairs and the repairs of the floor. We have renovated the kitchen, a brand new kitchen, Madam Speaker, at a cost of $150,000 to the taxpayers of St. Lucia. We have renovated the eye care center there, Madam Speaker. We have replaced the chairs, Madam Speaker, at the emergency area in the year 2009. We have purchased, Madam Speaker, a new digital X-ray unit, which I said, Madam Speaker, could convey these pictures to a university, a doctor overseas, and help in the diagnosis of problems that we have, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, I know, I'm aware, that there's been long wait at the emergency department. But, Madam Speaker, we are fighting hard to alleviate this problem. We are fighting hard to bring better comfort to the people that use the Victoria Hospital. But Madam Speaker, there are some problems we have. There are some reasons why this is happening too, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, long ago, at our wellness or health centers, Madam Speaker, we had a nurse on duty almost 24 hours. As a matter of fact, these nurses lived on the premises. Madam Speaker, most deliveries were done by midwives in the community. Today, Madam Speaker, the population is greater and public demand is also greater. We have also had to face new disease, new trends like H1N1, our aging population, the increase in trauma and accidents, Madam Speaker, the increase in the number of cases people with various diseases like diabetes and hypertension. All this, Madam Speaker, has created the stress and the system. But as I said today, Madam Speaker, that we are hoping that we will relieve this problem, and we know, Madam Speaker, some of our problems is also finance. So, Madam Speaker, we are asking our population to bear with us. Madam Speaker, in conclusion, Madam Speaker, we need a health system that can respond to the challenges I have presented, Madam Speaker. We have commenced the transformation. It will take time. We must continue to seek funding and market the idea of strengthening the system and not just a project or a program. Madam Speaker, in the new financial year, we have agreed to focus on 1, the revision of the organization and management of the public health sector. 2, the implementation of a sustainable health coverage strategy, including a dedicated health fund. 3, the completion and dissemination of the model of care. 4, assess our human resources and needs and design appropriate human resource development strategies. 5, complete the roll out of the health information system. 6, the implementation of a quality management structure, which will ensure that we proceed in accordance with the standards of good practice. 7, by strengthening our health infrastructure by A, redesign our aging building, and B, ensure adequate equipment in light of the services to be provided, the growth of communities, and the new challenges from these issues. And 8, Madam Speaker, we have delivered on some of our promises, but there are some major hurdles which we must cross. 9, Madam Speaker, we need funding and partnership in the health sector to improve our health outcomes. In the coming year, we will be involved in a number of partnerships to further strengthen our health system. These include, Madam Speaker, the Common Health Secretariat, which will be assisting the government of St. Lucia with human resource planning and development. And 2, Madam Speaker, the European Union will complete the construction of the new national hospital and equip the hospital. And 3, Madam Speaker, we will expand our programs for non-communicable and communicable disease management. We will launch the universal health care coverage strategy with a dedicated fund to support health systems and health service strengthening. We will continue to strengthen our labs and our surveillance systems with the use of U.S. funds, PEPFAR and USAID. We are expecting a boost in the funding for the implementation of the health information system through the EU. Our strategic plan, Madam Speaker, comes at an end in the year 2011. We will promote the process of developing a new strategic direction, which will build on the achievements of the health system approach and align results and targets to deliver on our promises. 8, Madam Speaker, we will strengthen our health infrastructure through the World Bank Hurricane Thomas Emergency Recovery Project, with a loan from the World Bank in the span of 2.6 million US. As our nation positions itself as a location for health and wellness tourism, the health sector is poised to take off. We have received recognition from TAMO, the World Bank, USAID, for our work on health system strengthening. We will forge ahead to ensure that the good gold and quality health care for all becomes a reality to all residents. Madam Speaker, I want to end in saying to the people of St. Lucia that this Ministry of Health, with its limited resources, is forging forward to give St. Lucians a health care system that has quality, that is affordable, and Madam Speaker, under this ministry, Madam Speaker, history will tell that
under this ministry and this administration in the last 4 years, we've been blessed with a wellness center. We've been blessed with a new national hospital. We've been able to renovate the 32 wellness centers. We've been able to introduce new aspects towards mental health, that is the community health program. Madam Speaker, our surveillance on disease will be better. Madam Speaker, we have not just waited for these things to happen. We have been proactive, Madam Speaker, in training our specialists, because I've always maintained, Madam Speaker, a hospital is not the four walls, but a hospital is the specialist and what is within. Madam Speaker, we did the same thing for our wellness center, and we're doing the same thing, training our people ahead of time, so when this new institution is completed, Madam Speaker, we will have solved a lot of the problems. We are commissioning the operation of the hospital. We know in advance, Madam Speaker.
You have 5 minutes to wrap up your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. We know in advance, Madam Speaker, that we need resources, we need human resources. And that, Madam Speaker, we are educating all our disciplines in order to take the reins of these new institutions. Madam Speaker, since time is short, I want to close by saying to the people of the constituency, my people of the constituency of Anslery Canyon, that I too, Madam Speaker, I too feel for their wishes. I too, Madam Speaker, have seen a difference in the constituency of Anslery Canyon. Madam Speaker, we are working hard on removing that stigma of the poorest two villages. Madam Speaker, as you go around this constituency, you will see change, Madam Speaker, in every corner of the constituency. Every part of this constituency can say to them, Madam Speaker, since the representation of Dr. Mondesi, Madam Speaker, there has been a change in this constituency. And Madam Speaker, I want them to know, Madam Speaker, that I'm dedicated to their cause. I want them to know that I told them that if I'm going to take the responsibility to represent you, I will represent you correctly and with all my heart. And Madam Speaker, I want to tell them, I will need their support, and I will get the support, because Madam Speaker, I always said that you only go to the bank if you have money in the bank. You cash your check when you go to the bank and you have money in the bank. If you go in other than that, Madam Speaker, you're trying to rob the bank. And Madam Speaker, I have worked in this constituency. There are people know I've worked in this constituency. The country knows I've worked in this constituency. Madam Speaker, every ministry that I've gone to, Madam Speaker, will tell you the effort that I put. So I say to my people, if you want to continue progress, like the Calypso says, progress is what Mandela stands for. I will ask you to keep progress going. The youth of my constituency will see the results. I thank you, Madam Speaker. I wish I had more time, Madam Speaker, because I could not say enough on my constituency. But the next time, Madam Speaker, I will continue, because there's lots more. Next year, Madam Speaker. I thank you very much, Madam Speaker, and I thank the House and my colleagues. I thank you very much.